Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app, not to mention the Keystone Sports Network on Spotify, where you can tune in to our podcasts. Moving forward, we're pretty much everywhere now. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. Right now, we're in the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed Blue and White. Drink Blue and Light. This is our continuation of our player profile series. We're looking at every player on the roster between now and the start of summer training camp. We are, midway through somewhere. We're leading off today with one of the guys who generated most of the discussion coming out of spring practice, Noah Kane, who is a former four-star. He enrolled in January. He's a true freshman, physical power back. We also saw a lot of good things, you know, outside of those arenas at the blue-white game. Was maybe the top performer in the entire game.
Yeah.
And the question became, now what? You know, what does that mean for him moving forward? What does that mean about Penn State's running back depth chart? And I think you can try to assess that situation for this year and for moving forward, considering that Ricky Slade's a true sophomore. Devin Ford will be on campus soon as a true freshman, and Kane will be a true freshman. The issues that you're trying to break through and try to figure out what's the pecking order here, they might not be going away beyond the 2019 season.
No, and I think it's not the worst thing in the world for Penn State. Obviously, you would love to have another Saquon Barkley or another Miles Sanders. And look, Penn State may end up having one of those guys on its roster, and we just don't know it yet. But it seems pretty obvious to me, I think, that we're going to get a Penn State backfield that's not set in stone. And I think depending on who a team, you know, who Penn State is playing, I think you could see the starter change each game potentially. I think you'll see the snap counts change each game. Ricky Ronnie and Jaywan Sider are going to have a pretty darn good feel for which guys can exploit which kind of defenses and so on and so forth. So I think you'll see all these guys play a role. Devin Ford's the one I can't quite figure out, but to me he's probably a four-game guy and save his red shirt because, you know, if Slade or Brown or one of these other guys, Kane even potentially, really steps up and takes on a lead role this year, you're talking about guys that could maybe leave before their senior season for the NFL. We saw, obviously, and I think it's going to start a trend at Penn State where someone like Miles Sanders can start for a year and really thrive. Perhaps guys decide to leave early. Maybe they don't go as high as they could. Maybe they're a third or a fourth rounder instead of a second rounder, or second or third rounder instead of a first rounder, something like that. But how many times do we hear not just Penn State's coaching staff, but NFL observers, NFL scouts, NFL analysts give Miles Sanders a bump, his stock a bump, because he didn't have as many carries on his body and on his legs as some of the other running backs right in this draft. Don't get me wrong. That's not why the Eagles took him in the second round solely. I mean, he was obviously a very good player who they think that can be productive in their system, but it'd be silly to think that, you know, part of it didn't have anything to do with the fact that he doesn't have the wear and tear that some of these guys coming out of college do, because they're their team's feature back for two, three, or four seasons, maybe even five in some cases, and they're beat up by the time they get to the NFL. Maybe not in a huge way, but at least in some way, the impact and the pounding you take as a lead dog just kind of leads to it. So I think that maybe that'll start a trend for Penn State. Time will tell, but this is going to be a pretty heavy rotated backfield, at least early on. Noah Kane has every reason to be in that mix. Really talented guy. I know that Bob and I were impressed when we saw him before the Citrus Bowl down at the Under Armour All-American game. He's just smooth, man. The way he runs, it makes you think that he can put all the tools together. As long as the blocking's not too much of an issue, which it can be for young guys at times, as long as the ability to get out in the, you know, it's one thing to get out of the backfield and be a receiver at the high school level. And at IMG, I mean, you're not playing a college schedule, but you're as close as you're going to get at the prep level. So he has some experience going against talented defenders and maybe some more advanced defensive schemes and concepts and things like that. So that'll help. But, you know, I think he has every chance to be a guy that can make a big impact.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting scenario on Penn State's running back depth chart. It's way too early to say whether Penn State does or doesn't have another Miles Sanders or Saquon Barkley. They've recruited so consistently well at this position. There's not much that would surprise me. There's not much that should surprise any of us as far as what scenario unfolds. If it's a three or four headed attack, like what if Devin Ford comes in and is lights out the second he arrives on campus the whole way through?
Sure.
That can change some things. It's not, I would say that's not probable, but, what if Ricky Slade is so good that the whole idea of a committee or a platoon or whatever you want to call it goes out the window because he commands, you know, a real workhorse type load? What if Noah Kane proves himself to be the best back of the mix? What if Journey Brown is as good as James Franklin says he's going to be? There's a lot of different scenarios that can unfold, and not a lot of them are negative in my eyes, because I think each of these guys brings something a little bit different to the table. They're all, with the exception of Journey Brown, they're all, you know, former four and five star type players. So Penn State has a good problem on its hands. And to your point about Miles Sanders, to be a legitimate NFL prospect, especially if you're not a quarterback, you need 1 year of good film. That's it. 1 year of good film under normal circumstances. There are some times where, let's say, you competed your senior year and you were you had nagging injuries and everybody knew that you were playing at 70% and your film wasn't that great. Then talent evaluators will go back an additional year. But, you know, at the end of the day, your phrase.
Nice. Nicely done.
at the end of the day, your phrase again, having less work as a running back is a good thing. Now, whether you can be patient enough to see that the whole way through, I guess kind of like it's not like Miles Sanders had a lot of options or anything, but he kept his head in the game and he stuck around and he made the most of his opportunity when, you know, as a former five-star player, that was probably humbling at times, maybe extremely so, you know, as you have ball security issues and you're not really getting on the field because why on earth would you take Saquon Barkley off the field?
Right.
So there's that. The other thing I think that's interesting about Penn State is that they are – it's not to take away, obviously, from Saquon Barkley, not to take away from Miles Sanders, but I think what they're doing is they're creating a mold of running backs. Saquon Barkley did not arrive as a finished product. He was outstanding as a high school player. Miles Sanders was outstanding as a high school player. They were different high school players, but they built their bodies. Like, Miles Sanders looked almost exactly like Saquon Barkley in terms of his build. With that thick bottom half, he was harder to tackle than you would think. And I remember seeing Miles Sanders a couple months before he enrolled at Penn State thinking, like, this kid's pretty narrow. Like, he's big enough, but he's not going to wow you with his size. And they were able to transform him, you know, and I think that that's something in the weight room that they're able to do, especially at the running back spot. So these guys are all going to be better this year than they were the year before. They're going to be better next year than they were this year. So that's one thing I think is interesting, is where Penn State's strength and conditioning comes into this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Dwight Gall and his staff have done a tremendous job. One of the things I think that flies under the radar, and look, this isn't like unique to Penn State, but it's something that, you know, if you're going to compete at the highest levels, you need to have. They're very good at not just tailoring workout and nutrition plans to individual position groups, but also individual players.
Right.
Because what Ricky Slade needs is not what Journey Brown needs, right. Is not what Noah Kane needs, is not what Devin Ford needs. They all need some of the same components, don't get me wrong, but, you know, one guy might need to add some weight, one guy might need to drop some weight, one guy might need to focus on his core strength, and one guy might need to focus on running a little bit faster when he gets to the second level. So they tailor the workout plans for all of these guys, and it's another reason why, you know, Jawan Sider is going to have options at his disposal, as is Ricky Ronnie, when the season begins, because again, all these guys do things a little bit differently and their offseason workout plans are all tailored a little bit differently to being able to do you know, a little something that maybe other guys can't do as well.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're going through Penn State's roster player by player. The segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com, where they've got a special buy one, get one offer that's good through the first 2 weeks of the season. The offer itself is good through the end of June. This is for the home opener against Idaho, the second game of the year against Buffalo, where you can buy one RV for the weekend. You get a second one for free. Double the party, double the family members, double the friends, all at gopsurv.com. Makes for an awesome Father's Day present. Once again, that offer is good through the end of June. If you go to gopsurv.com now, or you can reach out to Mark at 1-800-519-8467 to learn more about it. So we have a little bit of time. We spent a lot of time on Noah Kim.
I was just thinking about that for good reason.
Yeah. We still got two more players to go. The next one, Tyler Rudolph, another January enrollee, also wearing the number 21, just like Noah Kane on the offense, Tyler Rudolph on the defense. I think he can be an outstanding, versatile, dynamic safety. I think he, you know, as a high school player at 6'1", 205, which I think they have him around 6'1", 200 pounds, or a little south of 200 now. I thought he was the prototype for what you're looking for in a safety. I thought he was a tremendous athlete, will play with some physicality. I think there's a lot of interesting potential here. I think the bigger thing, I guess, to start the year is he a guy capable of surprising? Because, you know, we talked about the safety depth chart, and there are a lot of options, but there's not a lot that's set in stone yet. There are some opportunities here, especially as a safety. I think athletic safeties are perfect for special teams right away. So you could see Tyler Rudolph get involved in some way, shape, or form. There's a possibility here, Greg, I guess my point, is that he doesn't redshirt as a true freshman.
I could see him. Here's the problem. I could see like five of Penn State's class of 2019 defensive signees playing the Jesse Lucado role of majority special teams and not majority of time spent at their position, but still playing in 10, 11, 12, 13 games. Rudolph fits the bill. I think Joe Lurie is going to have to decide between him, Brandon Smith, Lance Dixon. Maybe it's all three of them. I don't know. Obviously, Penn State has the depth to be able to do that if they so choose to. But yeah, he's a guy that there's absolutely a chance he could contribute in year one. Marquise Wilson and Keaton Ellis are going to be in that conversation too.
And I think it's a good conversation to be having. I think these guys, especially the defensive backs, are pretty polished. And I think size-wise, they show up on campus with the requisite frames. One more, DJ Brown. I think we propped him up maybe last week as a guy that, you know, it dawns on you as they bring in four cornerbacks in this class. You better show up. You better show progress. And I think DJ Brown's time is now. We don't know a lot about him because we haven't seen him on the field much. But behind the scenes, you know, this is a time for him to fend off some of these true freshmen and try to establish himself as high as he can on the depth chart.
Yeah, I mean, it's not now or never for a guy like him because he's still pretty young. But it's certainly at a point here where it needs to be sometime soon, because there's a lot of talented guys on the roster hoping to take the next step. And if, you know, you get passed over, it can be very difficult to regain, you know, the positioning and the footing that you need to have a spot on the depth chart where you're going to play a lot. So I think that it's a big offseason and a big upcoming summer camp for him to establish a role and find a way to really get on the field.
Yeah, so that time's coming up for DJ Brown, former three-star from Georgia. It's just another one of those guys that it's time to do it now, or it might be never. I know you're saying it's not now or never. All right, we got one more segment to go. It's now or never for Ask Greg coming up after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSURV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.